all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father has promised, which, he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. At this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together. And he said, Brethren, the scripture has had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst upon in the middle of, and all his intestines gushed out. And it became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that in their own language, that field was called Hakeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead be made desolate, and let no one dwell in it. And let another man take his office. Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen to occupy the ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Amen. Wow, that was pretty long. Okay, so Acts starts with the author, Luke. He references the first account he composed. So his first account, and then he goes on to summarize it, the first account he composed was the book of Luke, right? So Luke was the author of Luke and also Acts. And so originally, the book of Luke and Acts were actually not one book, but they were put together. So that's how it was. But then as they laid out the entire Bible, obviously John follows that. So, yes. So it was originally together, and he references it, and he talks of this Theophilus. So who's this Theophilus? It could have, it's not, he's not someone famous in history, but it could have been, you know, a Christian who was looking for instruction, or they say he could have been a Roman official who just wanted to know about, you know, what happened in the history, or it could have just been a symbolic name, because what Theophilus means is God lover. So it could be symbolic, just like, oh, to all you people, God lovers, you know, I'm writing to you and sharing. And in verse 4, Jesus commands them to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait. To wait. And what are they waiting for? They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And I think even though it's in this grand situation where they don't know what's going on, I mean, I think that is a good parallel for what we need to do, right? Oftentimes, what we want is we want to get stuff done. And we don't know what to do, so what, we try our best, right? But the first step, and the first step here that was instructed, is to wait. Wait on the Holy Spirit. Step one. There was no other instruction. Like, oh, while you're waiting, you know, maybe do this or that. It's just wait on the Holy Spirit. And he says, you heard from me, for John was baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that Jesus references or refers to this Holy Spirit coming and calls it being baptized, right? Because why didn't he just say, oh, just wait on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will come and touch you? Or wait on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will be with you forever, right? But instead, the I guess, verb that was used was baptized. Because when we are baptized in water, what happens? We are... Well, the way that John does it is, it's not like rain or we don't sprinkle. It's a complete immersion, right? And what happens when you're immersed in water? There's like, if you jump in a pool, you're fully underwater, you're completely wet. There's no place on you that is not covered by this water. And I think that's what Jesus wants for us. When it's talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not just a surface, it's not just to be touched or tingled on certain parts of our body, but he wants us to be completely immersed and touched everywhere, right? And I think that's why he says, I want you to be baptized. So I've read somewhere where it's actually better, instead of saying to someone, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? Which is, even for us right now, are you completely immersed in the Holy Spirit right now? In every such way, in every area of your life. And then, of course, again, the disciples still don't really quite get it. In verse 6, and once again, they ask Jesus, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? Same thing still. Basically, they want that. They want the kingdom of Israel, that power and authority where, you know, they're no longer oppressed and under Roman rule, but they want power. And Jesus tells them, basically, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. When that will happen, that is something only the Father knows. And we have, of course, we know over time, like, you know, Y2K and, you know, different prophecies have come, or people claiming that they know when, you know, Jesus will return. But this is a secret that only Jesus knows. But He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria, even the remotest parts of the earth. So they're asking for power and authority for the kingdom to come. But what Jesus is saying, I will offer you power of the Holy Spirit. So he's offering something, right? And notice it says, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, or you shall be my witnesses. So it's not a command that when you receive my power, then you must do this, but you shall do this. So I think what Jesus is implying is when you receive and are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the very natural thing to do, you can't even help it, is you will be my witnesses. And oftentimes we have it the other way around. We feel this, we receive Jesus' command to go out and make disciples and go to the ends of the earth, and we get so fixated with doing, right? But what needs to precede that is we need the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And then very naturally, we will witness. And if you look back into your life when you were on fire and you couldn't help share with everyone, it's usually because you were touched by the Holy Spirit. Something happened, Holy Spirit came, and you just gotta let that out. Share the good news, right? And that's why we say, share the good news. And as Jesus is ascending up, two men appear. As he's ascending to heaven, two men appear. And so who are these two men? Some say maybe it's angels. Some say, oh, maybe it's Moses and Elijah. Just like when Jesus was praying and transfiguration came. Remember, there were two figures. That was Moses and Elijah. No one knows for sure. And these two figures say, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who's taken up from you into heaven will come in this just the same way as you've watched him go into heaven. It's kind of a weird statement, right? It's like, oh, you know, if I was there, Jesus is ascending, I would definitely look. I'm not going to be like, oh, just, I mean, that's, it's like a miracle happening. He's just ascending. But I think the point of it is what these two men are saying is, you need, that's not where your attention should be. Your attention is not on Jesus going up to heaven. Your attention should be, what has he called you and commanded you to do? Don't be fixated on that. Be focused on what God has called you to do. And sometimes we do that too. We're like, oh, life's so hard, suffering, someday. It's true, okay? It's true. Someday, I'm going to be in heaven, right? We're looking to heaven. Like, oh, it's going to be glorious once I'm in heaven. Or some people might take a step for, oh, it'd be, sometimes I feel like it'd just be better just to go to heaven right now. But God, it's like, stop making it about what you want. It's about what God, it's what Jesus wants. And Jesus wants you to do what he commanded, and he gave you a purpose here on earth. Amen? And I kind of just summarize the whole part from here to the end. And of course, we know at the end of this chapter, they go and cast lots, and a new apostle is appointed, Matthias. And I think it's pretty commonly talked about that maybe it was a mistake, right? Has everyone heard that? Like, oh, it's supposed to, maybe it should have been, maybe the casting lots was not actually God's will. They shouldn't have done that, and it should have been the Apostle Paul. Has anyone heard that before? No one? Oh, okay. Great. Then I'm done. No. So some people do say that, right? Like, oh, why are they casting lots? Why are they just, you know, leaving it to chance? They forced the issue, and if they had waited, really should have been Apostle Paul. So there's that, I guess, theory out there. But if I'm looking, if I'm just taking this scripture at its context, right, this is what I see. I see that they, number one, they were obedient to Jesus because they said, just wait, stay in Jerusalem. And they waited. And then it says they were all of one mind and they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. They were in such unity afterwards. Before, they're arguing about who's the greatest? Who's the greatest of them? Which of us apostles is the greatest? Who will sit at the left hand and right hand of God? But after this situation where Jesus leaves, they are suddenly so united in prayer, just praying. That's what sometimes like shocking situations or circumstances do. It kind of reprioritizes things in your life, right? Like for us, it might be, oh, what school should my kid go to? I think that's the main thing for parents in Hong Kong. But when things, crazy things happen, you just come together and you pray, right? You just seek God. And that's what they're doing. They're just praying, continually devoting themselves to prayer and completely united doing that. And then, after that, Peter gets up, and they're also probably devastated with what Judas just did. Because Judas was one of the apostles, and he betrayed them, right? And I don't think it would be like if suddenly, since he's not here, Pastor Nate just betrayed us, right? And we would be devastated. We'd be like, we'd be angry, but I think we'd also just be so heartbroken, and that person is just not in your life anymore. So the apostles were devastated. And Peter, finally, he has the foresight before he, you know, acts out emotionally, right? I'm going to kill that person. Revenge. You know, I'm going to defend you. But he stands up in the midst of the apostles, and quote, this is the first time he quotes scripture and goes on to deduce that what happened with Jesus is just fulfilling of prophecy. Did I say Jesus? What happened to Judas is just a fulfillment of prophecy. Wow. He's like, this is what happened. And then part of that prophecy says, let another man take his office. So he's just, even this process of casting lots, where it came from was his desire was to fulfill prophecy. And then they go on, and even as they're trying to think of candidates, notice they do put up a requirement. They're like, still use their wisdom, and I think of the board when they try to get stuff done. They're still like putting in, okay, they need, for instance, oh, who should be, I don't know, who's allowed to serve at SP? And we say, oh, you still need to have done GIC, right? You still need to have been part of a house church. And as they're picking the potentials for the apostleship, they're doing the same thing. They say, okay, very least, they need to have been there when to be baptized by John, and they had to be there and walk with us throughout this whole process with Jesus. So that were their two conditions. So that's how they came up with the two people. And then they went on to cast the lots. And just FYI, this isn't the first time lots have been casted. It's actually been done throughout Old Testament, and it was instructed by God. So if I look at just the context of what's happening, then I feel like, well, one, Paul never criticizes the choice of Matthias. And if you look at it, I feel like their hearts were in such a good place, right? They wait on the Holy Spirit, they're united in prayer, and they don't know what to do, and in the end, they cast lots, right? And in some ways, maybe I'm kind of reaching, but I feel like in some ways, casting lots is almost, because at that time the Holy Spirit had not come upon them yet, it was almost the most godly thing that you could have done, What I mean is, because when you cast lots, it's the one thing, they're not putting their emotions into it, right? You can't, it's like random, right? So they're not putting their bias or emotions. So you could say they're just taking away what they want completely away from the situation. And behind that, there's all this prayer and unity and Bible. And then they just say, okay, God, we leave it up to you, and we cast lots. So another way to look at it, maybe that's a question we'll ask Jesus, or we'll know. But I'd like to invite Ricky to lead us in worship. And as we do, I feel like the inspiration is really how the disciples just responded to this situation, right? First, they just obeyed. God said, wait. And they waited upon the Holy Spirit. And then they came together and just in unity, they just started praying together. And then they looked to the Bible. And it wasn't something, I think, that was instructed to them. Well, I mean, the first part, to wait. But this is something that just happened very naturally, right? And it's a matter of circumstances. Where sometimes, unfortunately, just like this, where something, what we think, very difficult or bad happens in our life. And it reorients us. What's important. And for them, I think they realize it's not by my own power, it's not by my own strength, it's just God, right? And I'm hoping that this morning we can also, not because of the circumstances that kind of help our mind to click into what's important, but that this morning we can just reprioritize with the help of the Holy Spirit, devote ourselves to seeking God, devote ourselves to praying to God, because not because it's a command, but because we know that only through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, through His guidance, His counseling, right, that's the best. That's what we need.
Staying desperate for you, God. Staying humble. trembled at your feet. I will lift these hands and praise. I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. Oh, came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul. I am yours. I am forever yours. Love came down and rescued me. Set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul. I am yours. I am forever yours. I am yours. I am yours.
Just as the song, just as our declaration to God, just every area in our life is yours. We offered our lives to Jesus. But let's just go before the Lord and just speak out those declaration of areas in our life that really belong to God. And maybe in certain areas we've really held on as saying, oh, hold on that control and that driver's seat of wanting to just control the destiny. And let's just offer those things up to Lord. Whether it could be our children, our parents, school, future, career, ministry. Let's just offer those things up to God. Yes, Jesus, we just offer it all to you. And we do that because we know that you're in control, Lord. We know that you're the one in control and you love us so much. that you're so aware of what's going on in our lives. You're so aware of what we need. You're so aware of the desires that are in our hearts so deep that sometimes we're not even aware, Lord. And we trust you, Lord. We trust you with these things. So we just surrender our lives to you, God. And we just want to be free of all those things, Lord, as well. Oftentimes, they can be those blessings, when we hold on to them so tight, they can also become burdens, Lord. So we just want to, even the blessings that you've given us, Lord, we just release them to you, Lord. And we just want to be free to be able to hear your voice, sense what's going on in your heart, and just walk with you, Lord. Walk with you in obedience. Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn to our screens and let's cover our church. Let's cover those on the list who are going through cancer and chemo. Let's pray for strength and just for God to come and restore our loved ones. Let's also cover those who are sick and also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God to show up in visions or dreams, that God would use the opportunity to be healed, for them to experience and be so open to the gospel as well. Also cover those people on the list who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray that they would not look at their circumstances, be aware of their circumstances, but really look to God and turn to God for comfort, for help, for hope, and for healing, of course. Let's also cover those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God to open doors, for them to be to wait on the Holy Spirit, of course, and just be obedient to where God leads them. Turn to our Thursday's prayers. Let's start with our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore SPSG with Pastor Sam Kim and Annie. Let's also cover Indonesia and our SP Indonesia ministry in Hong Kong with Pastor Salomon and Mimi. Let's pray for the ministries, the leaders, the families, for God to come and bring revival and use the leaders as well. Let's cover our prayer and healing ministries. Intercessory prayer team with Matt leading the well with Pastor Ricky and the river with Rachel. Let's pray for God's leading. They would take that time to wait upon the Holy Spirit to pray and seek out and hear God's will for their ministries. Let's cover our education ministry, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, SPU. Let's pray for the ministry heads and the teachers, that they would be so filled and overflowing with the love of God. Let's pray for the unity of the teams. Let's pray for the students, that they'd be so open and hungry for God as well. Pray for our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's cover the teams, that they would be united, that that God's love would overflow and touch the people that they're reaching out to. Cover the house churches today, East Bay and Olympic. It's the first house church. Pray that there'd be just so much joy as people, you know, coming back together, so much joy meeting together, and just incredible, wonderful fellowship and encouragement. You know, that they would feel so strengthened as well, having brothers and sisters just gathering together, sharing life together, especially with the challenging message this week. Oh, Father, Lord, we just thank you for today and this chapter and just the lives of the disciples, Lord, and just seeing how they responded in the midst of just incredible circumstances and difficulty, just coming together and really forming church, right? And I just pray, Lord, as a church, Solomon's Porch, we would do the same, would come together in one accord, united in spirit, united by spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and just seeking after you, praying, and just seeking you, Lord, because we recognize that we can't do it on our own, Lord. We can't do it. We need you. We need the community that you have blessed us with, Lord. We just come together, Lord. And I just pray for it, especially all the house churches that are meeting this week, Lord, that as they come together, that they would experience everything that you envisioned, Lord, that they would sharpen one another, that there'd be so much encouragement and love and a sense of purpose and belonging as well, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord. I bless everyone here today. I bless them to feel so purposeful today that they would not just go through the motions of what they need to do, Lord. It would be not what they need to do, but they would be so connected to you and they'd just be walking with you and abiding in your presence and walking in obedience today, Lord. I bless them, Lord. Bless them that their spirit would be connected with the Holy Spirit today, and the Holy Spirit would be the one to lead them in every step, every thought, Lord, that Holy Spirit would be the one to lead. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great day, and please continue to pray and spend time with God.